guys.
You're listening to Mama Knows Podcast with your host, Nina Cavagiola, a.k.a. Balconina. Join in weekly as she walks alongside you to navigate topics around motherhood, mental health, self-love, and relationships. The good, bad, and funny.
When I met Tom, my husband, there was no dating apps at the time. I think the dating apps came like a year later. And the only way to date was to like meet people at bars or on Facebook and whatever, through friends. So I honestly couldn't imagine having to date right now. I'm very glad I'm married because the dating scene seems so scary these days. I have some single friends that have told me horror stories, and I really wanted to get this episode out there because I know that there are a lot of women out there who are either single or divorced or separated that really want to get back into dating. And how do we do that in this day and age? So I'm really excited to talk to Dr. Morgan today, who's a relationship coach, attachment theory expert, and creator of the ESL relationship method. She helps women get off the dating roller coaster. I love her mission and I love all of her passions behind it. I'm excited for you to learn a little bit about her, so let's jump in. Dr. Morgan, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to talk to you on my podcast because I love your podcast and all the dating advice and relationship advice you have. I really want to know a little bit more about you and how you really niche down to relationship coaching.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure. I don't typically get interviewed, so it's fun to be the one being interviewed. Yeah, that's always a great question. Basically, I grew up and witnessed a lot of different relational trauma, even within my own family. I went through my own childhood trauma, like many people who become psychologists. And just from a young age, I developed a huge curiosity about relationships and how to have healthy relationships. And then as soon as I started dating, basically just went through toxic relationship after toxic relationship. And it was in my graduate program, my second year of my PhD, I actually dated a narcissist for about a year and a half.
Oh my God. Nothing like a case study.
Oh my gosh. Anyone who's been through that knows it was devastating. It was so horrible. I was at my lowest point, rock bottom, self-worth, all the things. And I just made a promise to myself when I finally got out of it that I would figure out, how do you have a healthy relationship? And that's when I dedicated myself to studying attachment theory, couples, and just really niched down to romantic relationships and understanding, how do we heal? How do we have great relationships?
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself like constantly working in your relationships? Like, because you do have so much knowledge and evidence base, do you constantly find yourself like rethinking what you're doing or what others are doing?
That's a really good question. You know, honestly, in the beginning, yes, because I think I didn't really myself know how to have healthy relationships. So it was like I was a great person to experiment on and I would try different things. But now it's just kind of how I am. And I think anyone I've ever dated, I'm sure to say, hey, even though I'm an expert in this field, I'm still human. I'm going to make mistakes. Let's talk through it. So I make sure that the expectations are realistic, right? And like, I'm lucky I'm with an incredible partner. He's an incredible man. And we both care about our communication and care about how we show up. And it's intentional. And it's just easy. I don't really think about it anymore. It's just how I am. But I love that question.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting because when I was like really trying to be the best parent ever, I mean, I'm always trying to be the best parent, but when I had my first kid, I was like, I'm going to do all the research and all the evidence and da da da. And I found myself like constantly nitpicking at myself. So once I stopped doing that, I felt a lot more confident in my whatever I was doing. So Sometimes like knowledge is power, but then like too much knowledge can be too much.
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's just acknowledging we're all human. And I feel like we always want to be learning. We always want to be growing, but we also have to be existing and mm-hmm. allowing ourselves to be. And sometimes overthinking and overanalyzing everything actually sabotages mm-hmm. you. So just relaxing and allowing yourself to be is really powerful with kindness, right? Like yeah. we all have to have self-compassion and not judge ourselves for different yeah. ways of being. Yeah,
exactly. So I want to jump right in because this is a topic that I can't necessarily relate to. I'm married and I've been with my husband for 12 years now. Congrats. So I don't even know what it would be like to date right now. Like I have no clue, but I have a lot of people in my life that are in that stage of like mm-hmm. having to still date or maybe having to start dating again. And I'm in my mid-30s. So a lot of those people are also in that age. And that is the number one question I have for you is what is the best way to start dating as an established adult in this day and age? Like not someone who's like early 20s going out, having a blast, but like someone who's like working full time and doesn't want to go party. Mm-hmm.
I love this question so much. And I think I want everybody to be at the place where they've looked at the relationship with themselves first. So really thinking about how am I taking care of me? Do I have solid self-care? Do I have a good relationship with myself? Do I know that a relationship can't give me anything that I can't give myself? And that really, truly, if a good relationship comes in, it's just going to multiply love in my life, but it's not going to fill a void. Like I would want people to like check their mindset and where they're at first.
Mm-hmm. And then
when we get to the dating stage, I love people to think about it in terms of building a sustainable dating practice. This isn't talked about enough where people get burnt out on the apps. They're tired of dating. They get kind of miserable. Maybe they go on, you know, 7 dates in a row and then they're like, I'm done with this. I'm not dating at all. And then they don't date for months. Well, it's just like a fitness routine. We get results when we continue to stay at it.
Oh my God, that sounds exhausting.
It's like you have to make it sustainable. So for some people, this looks like maybe 20 minutes on the apps 5 times a week, and they carve out one night a week that's okay, that's my date night. But building dating habits and routines that are sustainable. And then the other thing is also just checking your energy. You want to make sure that when you're dating, you're in a place where you're putting yourself hopefully at your best. And you have the energy and excitement and capacity to connect with another human. And for those of us who work full time, or maybe we're single parents, it takes a little bit. Like you have to fill up your cup in order to have the energy, in order to have a good dating experience. So big emphasis on self-care, big emphasis on time boundaries, and just making a sustainable dating routine. Those are some of my top tips.
So you're actually suggesting people like make it a routine to like date, like go on the app. And, you know, mm-hmm. I might sound silly because I'm so clueless in this department, but like you're saying like schedule times and make it a priority, yeah. etc. So in my back in my day, I was just waiting for some cute guy to come along that like made me happy. And now like I couldn't imagine yeah. having to like actually make it a routine. And I feel I have a really good friend who is like really just wants to find that person. And you know, she's like, I'm having the hardest time dating. Other than the apps and like websites and stuff, how else do people meet each other?
No, good questions. And I feel like there's a couple other points I have to add. This is an area I'm really passionate about. I actually like worked with Bumble on a training for them. So I've done so much research on dating. But so for other places, I mean, you want to go where you enjoy yourself, right? It's like, hobbies that you have, like things that you enjoy doing. It's great to meet people who have similar interests. Maybe it's the dog park. Maybe you like to do ceramics. Maybe you go to a yoga class. Here's the fact. Most people are just not open to connection. Most of us are in our phones. We're looking down. Maybe we have some social anxiety and we're going to these places, but we're not allowing the connections to happen. So it's not necessarily that you're not going to the right places. You're just closed off to connection. Like that's the real hard truth. So this is why the inner work is so important in getting to that place where you really are open to connection. One other thing I wanted to say about dating is you have to be comfortable with not dating anyone. You have to be comfortable with that open space in your life and not having anybody to fill it. And realizing that that is, I call it sacred relational space in your life that you want to be really intentional with. So people get exhausted with dating because they're going on dates with everyone. Be intentional. You know, I think you have to say, who do I want to invest my energy into? And then treat the first date like you're just gathering data. It doesn't mean anything. You're just like, is this even someone I want to see again? Right? Yeah. So anyways, I could go on and on about dating, but that's some of my best advice there.
So as a woman who, say, I found all the things that you've suggested, and then now how do I initiate a healthy dating relationship? So like, give me like literally exactly, like, do I just go up to someone or like at a date? Say like, I want to see you again, or how do you initiate it as a woman? Because I feel like back in my day, that sounds so bad because it's really not that long ago. But like, I feel like the society always makes it seem like the man should be the one initiating dating, right?
Great question. Yeah. For sure. Like that was the assumption. Absolutely. What I would want to say to that is you can treat that first date with zero expectations. I always tell people no expectations and clarity on your standards. So you know what it is you're looking for, you know what it is you want, but you have no expectation about how the date's going to go. You're not saying, oh, I met the one, this is going to be the guy I'm going to marry, like we're going to have a great relationship. No. You're showing up and you're like, this could be a friend. This could be a one-time thing. I don't know, but I have no expectations. And then for continuing, so let's say you have a good first date and you have some interest in getting to know the person. It could be you or them that makes the suggestion to have a second date. Either way, like women can absolutely do that. We're building secure attachment with someone, which is where if we have genuine interest and we want to get to know the person, we have a right to express it. And same goes for them, regardless of gender. We want to be honest about how we feel. Same if you're like, okay, there's not going to be a second date. Like you have to be honest about how you feel.
Yeah. So with that said, when you're on your first date, what are some immediate red flags to look out for that are like, ooh, this is not going to be good?
I love this question. The red flags. Yes. So if they are talking about themselves the entire time and they don't ask you anything about
those
you,
people drive me nuts.
We've all been on those dates, right? Yeah.
Even like friends, like even like, even not a date. Like if someone, yeah, if you're talking to a friend and they literally never ask you about yourself, it's like, okay, this is a one-way street.
I know. The worst is when you're out to dinner with someone and it's like 2.5 hours in and they've only talked about themselves, and then you're exhausted. And then with like the check is coming and they're like, oh, so tell me about you. You're like, all right, in the 5 minutes that we have left. So anyways, if they only talk about themselves, that's a red flag. If they put you down, sometimes even in a joking manner, if it's a first date and they're already doing that, it's a little bit of a red flag. If they talk really poorly of their past relationships, I think we all know this one. If they're like, my ex was crazy, she's insane, she did blah, blah, blah. Wow. Like we all, I think it's fair to say, sure, you can have some difficult past relationships, but if you're putting all the blame on the other person, it's a sign that they don't know how to take any ownership for their actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the main ones. Lying about their age. I am shocked how many of us, I have experienced that. And I it blows my mind, like the number of women who have experienced that, where the guy's like actually 10 years older than they put on their profile.
Ew, why? Like, if, I would rather date an older person, I guess, than like a younger
you're
person.
You're a George Clooney. You're like, give me the salt and pepper.
Can I get that retired man, please? Just kidding. How about dating somebody with baggage? Like, and I'm not saying kids are baggage, but they are, right? Like someone who has a child, someone who has an ex that's still kind of crazy, you know, like someone with baggage. How do you get around that? How do you see past that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's a lot there. What I will say is that the more that someone is working through and the more sort of challenging things they have going on in their life, it just requires higher levels of reassurance to their partner and better communication and really, really clear boundaries around what is it going to look like for you to build a relationship with them. Additionally, let's say someone, you know, I think this is common. Let's say somebody is even going through a loss of some kind, or maybe they just quit their job or they have a major transition in their life. It would be super important for them to be connected to some kind of support that's not you. Mm-hmm. AKA therapy, coach, family, friends, et cetera. You want to make sure that it's not someone who's like using you as a life raft. We've all been in those relationships too. Like that's not where you want to be. You want somebody who's connected and has the support that they need.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody has a child and they're out on the dating scene, should that be like a major red flag to women, or is that something that they should like give a chance? How do you look past that? Or do you find that a lot of women are like, that's a no for me, dog?
Does that make sense? Yeah. Did you watch The Bachelorette this season?
No, I hate that show.
Oh, trust me. I hate it too. And then my listeners were like, you need to review the show. So then I started watching it, but I used to never watch it. One of the guys was a great guy, and the reason he didn't get a rose was because he had a daughter. So it like brought up this whole thing, right? So it's true. We do see this. It's so individual. It's like each couple is going to have a different perspective on this. It's all about capacity for building a relationship with someone who has a child. It's not better. It's not worse. It's just a different experience. And is the partner open to that experience and willing to learn how to create a great relationship with someone who has a child? I really believe it's possible. And it can even add more love and even more connection and can be wonderful. It just requires a lot of emotional intelligence, great communication, very clear boundaries, and the real, true, honest introspection from the person if they want a child in their life and they're willing to do the work to create that relationship.
I love that. Thank you. Okay, so I have someone very, very important in my life who's like currently going through a dating heartbreak. And at the time when I sent you these questions, I didn't, but now I'm like extra curious. How do you move on from a dating heartbreak? And how do you like close that chapter respectfully with that person, not leaving it like on shitty terms? You know what I mean?
Such a good question. So there's so much I could say about this too. You have great questions. I think first off, we want to send ourselves so much compassion, just realizing that when a relationship ends, it's not just about a breakup. It's not even just about losing that person. It's about what they represented. It could even be connected to childhood wounds. Some people experience heartbreak at the same levels of emotional distress as if a death occurred. We have the research to back that up when we do brain scans. So I just want to acknowledge it's an incredibly painful experience for people. With that, you need to be practicing radical levels of self-care, is what I call it. So just really tuning in and saying, how can I show up for myself right now as my ideal parent? How would my ideal parent be comforting me, be taking care of me? What does that look like? Creating space in your life for that. And then I know you said closing the door and getting some kind of closure. There's really, really important facts to realize that helps. And one of those is a relationship is always two people who come together and they create a third living, breathing little ecosystem, this thing that's called a relationship. And it's always two people, and both people always have a role. And sometimes it's not that either one of them is bad, but that the thing that they created could no longer function, that it wasn't able to be healthy and functioning. And it doesn't mean that it was bad. It simply means that it's not meant to be a long-term dynamic that's going to grow and live forever. Some relationships happen for a season and they don't function anymore, and that's okay. So I think that's just so important to realize. And then I love, 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 love writing a letter to your ex. Not actually sending it. Maybe you burn it. Maybe you rip it up. But just no filter. Just what would you say? And just get it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Very helpful.
But would you actually send like a closure text? Like, so say you're the person that was broken up with. And you didn't want that necessarily, you know, you want to maybe see why that happened, or how do you send a text or like call, or what do you do anything to be like, hey, I really cared about you?
I always believe first we should journal it out and write everything out. And then once we've done that, we say, is there anything that I feel like I absolutely need to share with this person, or anything that I think could help either one of us in moving on? Because usually if we send that initial text, there's a lot of things that just don't need to be said. Mm-hmm. So do your own total, you know, no filter, everything. And then from there, if there's anything that you need to send, I'm a huge believer in sending it, because otherwise we carry it around and it's unfinished business. So absolutely send it. But just know you can't have any expectations about, oh, we're going to get back together. Mm. Or if someone has told you the relationship is done, you have to accept the relationship is done. Yeah. And that's that first stage where we're like trying to bargain, right? It's like mm-hmm. the grief. We're trying to bargain. We're trying to make it not be true. Mm. And if you're sending texts when you're in that stage, ultimately, you're going to regret what you've said. So take some time, write out everything, and then from there, send something later.
I love that advice. I wish I would have had that advice like 13 years ago. I was always the one that was either like ignoring or like texting immediately. I definitely had very unhealthy dating habits. So I'm glad I don't have to do that ever again. I want to conclude the interview with a personal dating horror story of yours, because a lot of people associate experts with like, oh, they have it so good. And you did share quite a bit in the beginning that you've been through it all. And I would love for you to share a little horror story, a dating one, and then how you came out of it stronger.
Oh, this is such a good question. You know, it's funny. I'm like, there's so many. I don't know which one to pick. Like, that's the real truth.
I know. They're like, aren't they all horror stories until you like find the one?
Until you find the one. Yeah. I can think of one though. It's funny. I actually wrote about this one in my book that I have coming out. So it was Valentine's Day. I think this was like 2016 or 2015. And I was dating this guy. We'll call him Sam. And we were supposed to make this like beautiful Italian dinner together. So he was working all day. So I was like, great, I'll get all the things. So I go, I shop, I get all the things. I'm so excited. We've been together like 3 months. Everything's ready. And he's supposed to be there at 8. It's like 8:10. He's not there. 8:30. He's not there. 9 o'clock. He's not there. He just doesn't show up on Valentine's Day. And
how long have you been dating?
Like, it was like 3 months that we were together.
So like decent?
Yeah. We were like officially a couple.
Yeah.
And no text, no nothing. And then the next day he's like WYD, like in the morning. I'm like, so anyways, I think what I took from that was, you know, I was just so devastated. And once again, it reaffirmed date yourself first. Like, there's no reason I should have been as devastated as I was. And I mean, of course I had a right to be, but you can't let anyone determine your worth. Like me feeling like, oh, I'm just not good enough. It wasn't about me that he didn't show up. It was about him. He didn't have capacity for a relationship. Mm-hmm. So anyways.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sorry that happened, Sam.
Hello.
But I love that you said that it was about him, right? Like, yeah. I think that's such an important point in all aspects of life. It's when somebody mistreats you or when somebody does some harm to you in any way, mental, physical, whatever, it's usually their own issue. Right.
Absolutely. We can't take it personally. We just say, okay, they're going through something. It doesn't mean anything about my worthiness.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Morgan. I would love for you to tell us where we can find you on socials, and you have a book coming. I would love if you have any info on that, and then also your podcast.
Oh my gosh. I love it. This has been so fun. You can find me on Instagram. It's just Dr. Morgan Coaching. And my podcast is called Let's Get Vulnerable. It's all things attachment theory, dating advice, et cetera. And then my book is coming out and it should be in November or December. I'm trying to decide when, but it is called Love Magnet. Get off the dating roller coaster and attract the love you deserve.
Oh my God. So, I'm so excited for you. That's so cool.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate everything you shared with us today.
Thank you for having me and love all the work that you do. Appreciate you.
After talking to Dr. Morgan, I feel like I maybe could date again, but I'd rather not. So I'll just stay married to my husband. Just kidding. But obviously, if you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave a review, make sure you follow on socials, and check out Dr. Morgan's website. She's got tons of free resources. See you guys next time.